المغضوب عليهم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The second in honor of Sayyida Khadija عليه السلام. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. The third with your loudest voices in honor of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. The fourth in honor of Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning the Shia view of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is one of the most intriguing discussions in Islamic thought today, and a discussion which requires an in-depth examination, a discussion which has theological as well as ethical repercussions, and indeed a discussion which affects each and every one of our lives today. On many occasions we find that the Shia are accused of being a group who do not respect the wives of the Holy Prophet. Many times you find booklets or indeed leaflets which are produced which seek to highlight how the Shia from the beginning of their existence have not shown any respect to any of the wives of the Holy Prophet. You find that many have come forward and therefore said that we are not following the teachings of the Prophet or of the Qur'an. They say within the Qur'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the wives of the Prophet as the mothers of the believers. And they therefore reply by saying that the Shia do not honor the fact that these ladies are what? That these ladies are the mothers of the believers. That they occupy the highest position within the religion of Islam. And indeed therefore the opinion is that the Shia do not have respect for any of the wives. They put forward the idea that the Shia slander Khadija, that the Shia slander Hafsa, that the Shia slander Zainab, that the Shia slander Juwayriya, and Safiya, and Maria, and Aisha. Each of the wives, the impression is given that the Shia have no respect for the wives of Rasulullah at all. Whereas there is a need for us to reply to this accusation. Why? There are many innocent Muslims in the world. As soon as they find out you're Shia, straight away they tell you, so you people don't respect the wives of Rasulullah. There is a need for us to reply by showing that our reverence for the wives of Rasulullah is in line with the Quran. That the way the Quran portrays the wives of Rasulullah is the way we revere the wives of Rasulullah. The way the Quran examines the wives is the way we examine the wives as well. You find, however, unfortunately, many of the followers of Ahlul Bayt lack a relationship with the Qur'an. As in, sometimes you wonder that this Qur'an that sits in our shelves at home, gathering dust, was it meant to sit there and gather dust, or was it meant to be a book of guidance for us today? Unfortunately, many people do not pick up the Qur'an except in the month of Ramadan. And even in the month of Ramadan, you find many people do not have a relationship at all with the Holy Qur'an. Therefore, there is a need for us when we dissect any issue to use the Quran. Why? Our brothers in other schools in Islam, their knowledge of the Quran is fantastic. That you can't deny. As in when they sit and talk with you about the Quran, they'll quote you verse after verse. We are good at quoting hadith after hadith. But there needs to be a balance. There needs to be the Quran and the hadith. Therefore, let us dissect tonight the analysis of the Shia view of the companions. Recently, some people have come forward and said that you people curse the wives of Rasulullah. And they bring you a video of a Shia speaker. And when they bring you this video, they say that this Shia speaker represents all of your 1,400 year of history.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحاب غير المغضوب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب غير المغضوب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله أما بعد يقول الله في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم The second in honor of Sayyida Khadija عليه السلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد The third with your loudest voices in honor of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. The fourth in honor of Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning the Shia view of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is one of the most intriguing discussions in Islamic thought today, and a discussion which requires an in-depth examination, a discussion which has theological as well as ethical repercussions, and indeed a discussion which affects each and every one of our lives today.
On many occasions we find that the Shia are accused of being a group who do not respect the wives of the Holy Prophet. Many times you find booklets or indeed leaflets which are produced which seek to highlight how the Shia from the beginning of their existence have not shown any respect to any of the wives of the Holy Prophet. You find that many have come forward and therefore said that we are not following the teachings of the Prophet or of the Qur'an. They say within the Qur'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the wives of the Prophet as the mothers of the believers. And they therefore reply by saying that the Shia do not honor the fact that these ladies are what? That these ladies are the mothers of the believers. That they occupy the highest position within the religion of Islam. And indeed therefore the opinion is that the Shia do not have respect for any of the wives. They put forward the idea that the Shia slander Khadija, that the Shia slander Hafsa, that the Shia slander Zainab, that the Shia slander Juwayriya and Safiya and Maria and Aisha. Each of the wives, the impression is given that the Shia have no respect for the wives of Rasulullah at all. Whereas there is a need for us to reply to this accusation. Why? There are many innocent Muslims in the world. As soon as they find out you're Shia, straight away they tell you, so you people don't respect the wives of Rasulullah. There is a need for us to reply by showing that our reverence for the wives of Rasulullah is in line with the Qur'an. That the way the Qur'an portrays the wives of Rasulullah is the way we revere the wives of Rasulullah. The way the Qur'an examines the wives is the way we examine the wives as well. You find, however, unfortunately, many of the followers of Ahlul Bayt lack a relationship with the Qur'an. As in, sometimes you wonder that this Qur'an that sits in our shelves at home, gathering dust, wasn't meant to sit there and gather dust, or wasn't meant to be a book of guidance for us today. Unfortunately, many people do not pick up the Qur'an except in the month of Ramadan. And even in the month of Ramadan, you find many people do not have a relationship at all with the Holy Qur'an. Therefore, there is a need for us when we dissect any issue to use the Qur'an. Why? Our brothers in other schools in Islam, their knowledge of the Qur'an is fantastic. That you can't deny. As in when they sit and talk with you about the Qur'an, they'll quote you verse after verse. We are good at quoting hadith after hadith. But there needs to be a balance. There needs to be the Qur'an and the hadith. Therefore, let us dissect tonight the analysis of the Shia view of the companions. Recently, some people have come forward and said that you people curse the wives of Rasulullah. And they bring you a video of a Shia speaker. And when they bring you this video, they say that this Shia speaker represents all of your 1,400 year of history. As in, if we see academic debate becoming like that, then I could easily pick up a speaker from Ahlul Sunnah, take a clip of him and say this represents the whole of Ahlul Sunnah. As in that person who said Imam al-Hussein was wrong to fight Yazid, I could pick up his clip and say he represents the whole of Ahlul Sunnah, but he doesn't. Likewise, do not bring me a Shia speaker and say he represents all of Shiaism. You want to know who represents the Shia school? Go to our grand scholars today. They will tell you what is our opinion. Go to our grand scholars of the past, they will tell you what our opinion is. Don't pick up a video from YouTube and say to me that that's it, all of you believe what this man says. No, on the contrary, we have grand scholars alive today, scholars of the repute of Sayyid Ali Sistani, may Allah lengthen his life, scholars of the repute of Sayyid Ali Khamenei, may Allah lengthen his life. These are scholars who are alive until today. You could ask them when you come to their opinion about the wives. Therefore, let's examine the issue of the wives in the following stages. Number one, which two wives of two prophets in the Qur'an did Allah tell us that they died as disbelievers? Number two, and of the utmost importance when coming to discuss this vital area, when the Qur'an says the wives are the mothers of the believers, what does it mean when we say Ummul Mu'mineen? And how is Ummul Mu'mineen in actuality a legal construct? Number three, in Surah Al-Ahzab, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divide the wives of the prophets into two groups? Number four, which true wives of the Prophet does Allah say, you could happily divorce them and I'll give you better than them? Number five, which wife of the Prophet fought the Khalifa of her time and came forward in the burial of the grandson of Rasulullah? And number six, which is the greatest wife of the Prophet who every Shia in the world honors tonight? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in depth. When we come to dissecting this topic, as we said, our barometer is the Quran. The Quran lays a beautiful foundation to understand why the Shia view the wives of the Prophet in the way that they do. As in, we know in the Quran, many prophets of God are mentioned alongside their wives. Adam is mentioned alongside Eve. You find Nuh, his wife. Ibrahim, Sarah and Hajar. Musa, the daughter of Shu'aib. Many of the prophets in the Quran, Allah mentions them alongside their wives. When He mentions them alongside their wives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows something beautiful. He shows in this religion, you do not earn respect by association. You earn respect by merit. What do we mean? We mean just because someone is married to a religious person, does that mean they'll turn out religious? No, not at all. As in, you may have someone who's a prophet of God, you can't just respect his family and his children because they're related to him. You may have a prophet of God who is someone who is revered, but his child may come out the opposite. As in Prophet Adam alayhi salam, were both his sons good or did one come out as a disbeliever? Prophet Adam had a son by the name of Habil and another by the name of Qabil. Qabil disobeyed his father and the message of Islam. Do I therefore have to respect Qabil on the basis that he's Adam's son? No. Likewise, Nabi Ya'qub had sons. Not all of them were religious. Just because they were the sons of Ya'qub, do I have to respect them because they're the sons of a prophet? No. Islam said the only differentiator when it comes to respecting any individual is taqwa and nothing else, isn't it? As in today, you can't just respect someone who's the grandson of a famous scholar, for example, or someone who's the nephew of a famous scholar. You earn your merit, I'll respect you. As in, we find in history there are times when you may find, for example, a family which has got good and bad come out of it. I never forget Banu Thaqif, the Thaqafis. From the Thaqafis you had Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. From the Thaqafis you had Mukhtar al-Thaqafi. You could have in one family a Hajjaj and a Mukhtar. Therefore in the Quran, when Allah spoke about any prophet, if He mentioned his wife, He gave her merit if she did good. But if the wife was rude or disobedient, Allah sets her as an example. Which two prophets did Allah say, even though their wives were married to these prophets, they died as disbelievers? Surah 66 verse number 10. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَمْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَأَمْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. Allah sets the example to the disbelievers, the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. They were married to two prophets, but they died as disbelievers. What? A wife of a prophet can die as a disbeliever? I thought if you're married to a prophet, you're a believer. If you're married to a prophet, shouldn't that automatically grant you Jannah? No, not in this religion. In this religion, whoever you are, you have to earn your credits. It's not just done because of who you married. You find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am giving an example to the kuffar. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَمْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَأَمْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. The Prophet Nuh and the Prophet Lut. You would think the Prophet Nuh and the Prophet Lut, their wives would be religious. You would think their wives would be the best of Muslims, dying on the path of Allah. Allah says, no, on the contrary. Just because you're married to a prophet doesn't mean the prophet guides you into Jannah. No, you have to earn that heaven through your behavior. Why was Prophet Nuh and Prophet Lut's wife used as an example? Prophet Nuh, as we know, preached to his people, the Quran says, for 950 years or even more. The Quran says, Prophet Nuh preached to his people to try and bring them towards the religion of Islam. Many of these people of the time of Prophet Nuh used to go to the temple and used to worship the idol. They used to worship the sun god in that time. So they would go to the temple, they'd worship. The narrations, what do they say to us? They say to us, the Prophet Nuh tried to bring them towards the path of Allah. Many of them did not come. Why? Because they said the rich are not becoming religious. It's only the poor. If more of the rich are religious, then we'll come and join you. But all of your followers are the poor. Nabi Nuh tried his hardest to bring people towards him. And then he told them that if you do not come, then there is going to be a punishment that's going to come into your land. Unfortunately, you found of the people who used to cause the most trouble for Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was his wife. A prophet of God has trouble from his wife? As in, surely a prophet of God's wife is obedient, she's tolerant, she's full of respect, full of honor. No. Prophet Nuh's wife had three traits about her that were well known. Number one, she used to be of those who would go to the temple and worship the gods. Number two, she used to prevent the woman of the town from listening to her husband's lectures. She used to stop the woman when a woman was going to Prophet Nuh to listen to his lecture. She would say, don't listen to my husband. These people speak stupid things. They speak about God and the day of judgment and all this nonsense. A wife of a prophet says this? Yes, a wife of the prophet. And Allah says in the Quran, I'm using her as an example to show you, don't just think someone who's married to my prophet is religious automatically. No, they may end up being disbelievers. Number one, temple. Number two, blocks others. Number three, helps the people and she is rude towards her husband. She used to be rude towards him, abrasive towards him. Her manners were ill-mannered. She'd be loud towards him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees Prophet Nuh telling her, please come and board the ark. Come with me on the ark. Take your ark and go. There is the son of Nuh on the mountain. He'll be survived on the mountain. I will survive as well. Nothing will happen to me. Subhanallah, at the end, the son of Nuh and the wife of Nuh, both of them ended up dying in that deluge. Therefore, Allah said the first example of a prophet whose wife does not deserve to be respected just because she's married to a prophet is Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. The second example, Prophet Lut, as we know, was in the area of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. These people used to practice the most abominable act in the eyes of the religion of Islam, the act of same-gender relations. As in, you find that in their opinion, that act, there was no problem. They felt that their desires had led them to this. Prophet Lut told them that, oh people, this is not the way, this is not a natural way. They said, no, this is what we feel. He said to them, but I have come on behalf of your Lord. Your Lord created you. He knows what's natural for you. He knows at the same time his creation better than they know themselves. Do you know who was the one who was spying on her husband and going and telling the people behind his back what he was doing? It was Prophet Lut's wife. Prophet Lut's wife, what she would do, when there were any guests who would come to her husband's house, especially male guests, no need to go further, whenever there would be any guests, she would go outside of the house and she'd go and tell the people. She'd go and say, listen, my husband has guests. And as we know in the Quran, the guests were who? The guests were angels who had come to visit Prophet Lut alayhi salam. The Quran, what does it say? The Quran says that this lady, and the hadith say this lady, even though she was married to a prophet, if today someone said to you, she's the wife of a prophet, automatically you say, oh, she's like my mother. She's the mother of the believers. No, no, this lady, what she would do, behind the back of Prophet Lut, she'd go and tell people, listen, he's got some guests. Go and do what you have to do towards him. Trouble him. And you know what they used to do? They used to pay her a few silver coins for that. All it took was seeing a bit of silver, and she would leave her house and instigate trouble against Prophet Lut. The Quran mentions that she was destroyed alongside the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. As we know, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, their story is in the Bible and in the Quran. Lut in the Bible is not a prophet. She's a wise man. Whereas in the Quran, Lut is a prophet of God. The Quran in chapter 66, verse number 10 said what? ضرب الله مثلا ضرب الله مثلا غير المغضوب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، غير المغضوب. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The second in honor of Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam. Allahumma.